Okay, let's start this public workshop, special workshop on, let's see, we're Wednesday, the 22nd?
23rd.
23rd, excuse me. We're here to discuss more public comment regarding our new executive director selection. And I think I'll pass it off to you, Larry. You and Abigail have been working on a couple things, and then we can go from there.
And I've gotten quite a number of emails, and I'm sure you guys have had extra conversations with members of the public, either telephonic or in person. What Abigail and I did, we sat down the other day and went through all the emails, and actually, Abigail, the primary one, and I think we got copies for the public over there, kind of went through the emails and garnered seven or eight or nine themes that seemed to be appearing more than once. You know, some of these suggestions really got into the nitty-gritty. A guy had to be, 5'9½" and that sort of thing. We don't want those. So taking that, and then we developed some questions around those themes and came up with about 15 or so questions for you to look at in executive session. Because we don't want that to be public, because we don't want potential candidates to know what's questioned ahead of time, obviously. So we'll go over that, and we thought this would be a good opportunity if the public wanted to give, we haven't done it yet, give some more input. We still have time. The applications are not due until close of business on the 1st, a week from Friday. I will say we've gotten six applications so far, but only three of them are complete. The trouble with the internet nowadays, you got monster.com and everything, and you put an ad in the Seattle Times, and suddenly you get an automatic resume sent to you. Well, we want a cover letter, we want the resume, we want you to answer these five questions, we want you to fill out the port's application form, all the rest of it. But we have gotten three packets in the mail the last few days that have complete packets, them all that we asked of. So I think we'll get a lot more as we get into next week. And we'll see what we got from there, go from there. Obviously, Abigail and I don't vote in this. It'll be up to the three commissioners to decide who they want to interview, and we'll just provide the administrative help, setting up the interviews, that sort of thing. And that's something you should be thinking about is, how do you want to run the interviews? How much time do you want to spend with each candidate? I do not want to sit in the room during the interviews. I don't want, because I think that would be unfair to the candidates, especially if I'm sitting there on the sideline rolling my eyes or shaking my head. And I don't want that to, for me to be accused of influencing the vote. But you might want Abigail to be there. We thought, Pat, you might want to be in on it. What you're going to see here is one page, and this came out of your visit the other day where we were talking. In today's day and age, there are some questions you cannot, say again, cannot ask a candidate. Is that a glass eyeball? You can't ask those things. You can't ask about religion, you can't ask about family, how many children you have, all those things. So there's a list in your packet of the do not ask questions. But I thought, Pat might be good just because he's kind of helped up to date with the process and kind of the things to look for. But that's up to you, who you want. If you just want the three of you, then.
Well, you're such a warm and comforting.
So I won't be there.
No, I think you should. I think you should be there personally, so.
But not to ask questions of the candidates.
Right, just to keep us from asking.
To be warm and comforting, yeah.
Okay, I can.
To keep the commission in line.
But I kind of think I would like Abigail there.
I would like Abigail.
Fine with me.
Yeah, okay.
So we can't throw pencils.
No. So that's really about it, other than once you get into executive session, go over the questions and the how you want to handle a matrix and everything, so.
Well, I've had a great time reading all these responses that we got. I think it's really important, really nice that the community's engaged enough to give us all their thoughts, and I'm just anxious to hear more.
You know, some of them was kind of interesting that, I remember there's one, I forget where it was, they recommended that we stop using WPPA for our legal services. That's the trade association, they provide legal services, but.
I think one of the interesting things I've kicked around with staff is the number of respondents that we've had, which is really 3 complete respondents. So I think the 3 of us would like to see that times 10, actually. And, you know, whether or not we would extend it beyond the first, and I think really, Larry, you've said, you know, let's just see how it goes, get a little bit further.
I wouldn't panic at this point. I'd wait until you get into midweek next week, see what shows up by Wednesday or Thursday. You can always extend the application period. You know, we would have to notify, all the areas that we advertised in, but if you want to extend it another 2 weeks or something. And it's, there are 7 port districts looking for port directors right now, as we speak.
7.
7. And, Maryland up at Friday Harbor announced her retirement the week before last, so they haven't advertised yet. They sent me an email today asking if she could use our format because they don't want to use a headhunter. And I'm going to respond tomorrow, tell them to feel free. There's no plagiarism here, it's just do what works.
And it is interesting just to note, Port of Walla Walla received 10?
They end up having 11.
11. So a little bit slower than I think everybody would have thought.
And I wouldn't be a bit surprised if we were privy to the applications at the other ports.
Oh.
You're probably going to see
some names.
Some of the same names applying for multiple, which you would expect, all from the same industry.
So with that, throw it out to you guys. Are there comments from the audience? As far as, yes.
I wrote you a letter, and I have to leave. I've got an emergency.
Could you introduce yourself?
Yeah, probably.
Sure, I'll
come up to the podium would be great. And then
it doesn't bite.
Yeah, it doesn't bite.
Thank you for the opportunity to say a few words. It's very short.
And could you introduce yourself?
I shall.
Okay.
My name is Guy Ashley. I've lived in Port Townsend for 16, 17 years now. I'm a small boarder, and I've used the port facilities for 17, 18 years. Steve is my representative. I'm in the Port Townsend area. And I'd like to encourage Stephen and the committee to choose an individual who is sensitive to our special small town culture here in Port Townsend. Please choose someone who can communicate and cooperate with Port Townsend citizens to create a port environment that is inclusive to all the people who use the port, both pleasure boaters and professionals who serve the port. And that's it. Basically, thank you very much for letting me
have
this time.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, if that's if you give
that. Yeah, thank you very much. I'm sorry I have to leave. I'd like to hear the rest of this, but a small emergency. I have to attend to.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you very much.
I don't know if you probably haven't had a chance yet. The last 2 pages of your packet, talk about those themes that we pulled out of the multiple emails. And then the last page, about 10 or so attributes that we kind of gleaned from all that too. Being flexible, engaged, proactive, innovative, fiscally intelligent, environmentally savvy, a clear communicator, supportive of staff, perseverant, can stand up to adversity and criticism, and a sense of humor. I could certainly underwrite those last two.
Were these over on the table?
Yeah, the last two pages, you know, the public should have them. And some of what she just said is on that.
Right.
First page, you know, understanding the working waterfront, the maritime culture, heritage, that sort of thing, so.
So with the themes or these attributes for directors, does anybody want to comment or add to this list? Are we missing anything? Melinda?
And basically, for more of a response, Melinda Bryden, District 2. The last person that just spoke, and I heard this over and over, that the court commissioner, or excuse me, the executive director should be aware of our small town environment. And that's exactly what's wrong with this, and what has been wrong, is that this isn't about Port Townsend. It's about Jefferson County. And to select someone based on such a narrow group of people is just wrong. The rest of us in Districts 2 and 3 want a director that will support us and that will take our tax dollars and spend them in our district, not just in Port Townsend. Port Townsend has gotten the benefit of this port for the last 20, 30 years. Building the marine trades, everything that helped the economic development within the town of Port Townsend. And yes, it's a third of the port district, but it's only a third. And I truly hope that the rest of the districts are also kept in mind. Thank you.
That's why I have two other people sitting up here that represent the other two-thirds of the county.
Like what?
Like what?
The question is, what has been done in District 2, Brad?
Well, anytime there's an airport question, he's the one that gets it. Anytime there's a Quilicine question, I'm the one that gets it, so. Yep. Anything else? Anybody want to add more to this conversation? Yes.
I'm sorry, I have to leave with a catch ferry in a few minutes. I just go to the meeting. I just want to say that worse than not finding a director is choosing a director that's not going to fit with the town. And if that is the case, the commission might consider looking at other options for how we might organize this port. And I know in the group there was a great deal of discussion about vertical organization of the personnel, but one could consider a horizontal one. And so there are models out there that would incorporate and empower people, talented people like Abigail, who could take a bigger role in finances, and Al, who could do more in the yard, and Larry Ossie, who could take more and do more of a horizontal thing. And with a person like Eric Taves, who is very good at building consensus, he might be able to construct a different model. So I know it's a little premature, but you can start thinking about a different model instead of picking somebody just because you're accidental.
Got it.
And I think that's a critical point that I've mentioned before. Hopefully you're going to pick somebody that's going to be here for a long time to be successful. And if you don't, say when April comes and you're sitting here looking at all the applications and none of them really seem to work, maybe you just, you know, do a timeout for 6 months. Let all these other port district jobs get filled and settle out. You know, some will still rise and some will still set. And there's enough talent here at the port to keep things, you know, together and go back out again, you know, September, October timeframe or something like that. And
I noticed there are actually several other ports that are doing that right now with interim directors that are filling that post. And
well, that's the normal, usually what happens when you have somebody leaving, either the director's got fired, so you got to put somebody in there, mm-hmm. or they don't give as long a notice as I did. Mm-hmm. You know, they just say, hey, by the way, I'm not coming to work next week.
<You know? laughs>
Right, so. Or they just give 1 or 2 months notice, in which case you're kind of forced into coming up with an interim solution. So. Mm-hmm.
All right. Again, any comments? This is kind of the time to.
This is the time to speak up.
Talk about who you want as a port director.
Once we go into executive session, you all got to leave.
Yeah, we've gotten a lot of written comments that I think have been extremely helpful, and we've made some questions that unfortunately we can't share with you. But we're going to make the three of us make sure that all of the things, the themes, the needs that you've expressed in your written comments to us get included in our written questions. And so now's the time to have anyone that wants to reinforce their written questions in our mind before we actually make the final set of questions. Now's the time to raise your hand and do it.
Bill.
Bill Petty. District 2, I guess. So I think that kind of recognition of what Larry's done, and I kind of support that kind of a director. Larry has been kind of the marketing manager for the port. Larry has been the interagency consensus builder, team builder. And I think that recognizing all the talent that there is in the middle management at the port, somebody who continues specifically those things, someone who's a good manager can tie all of the middle manager's processes together, somebody who can go out and represent the port as the not as the port commission would, but as staff would at all these interagency meetings, and kind of carry the port's banner and carry the port's mission objectives into those meetings. I think that if I had to put something at the top of the list, that kind of missionary for the port, if you will, would seem to be, you know, maybe number one or number two, and just a top flight manager, number one or number two. The extent to which the port director can reasonably be expected to set the agenda for the port, I think that kind of takes away from what the commission's rightful roles and responsibilities are. I think that a director that recognizes, you know, the commission's role at the port and carries that out is important. So they have to understand what their position is. Anybody that's applying for this job and has a hard time understanding where that boundary is needs to get a second look. Again, just a good manager, and more, maybe even more importantly, a good ombudsman for the board. So, I think all these things on here are good things, but it's important to take into account the role of the executive director and you know, an understanding the limitations and understanding the important role that he has with other peers in other agencies.
Thank you. Yes, Ron. Oh, go ahead, George.
Hey,
you're up.
It's okay. I'm
sorry.
Age before beauty.
Age before beauty, always.
George Ent, former manager of the court many years ago. Three things really are on my plate or concern as we go through this process. These are very big shoes to fill for Larry because he has done what I think is probably the best job of a manager I've seen at this court. I'm concerned that with all the musical chairs that are going on in the various courts, I can see why it's going to be hard to find somebody from within the court itself. I would suggest that you look in other areas. For instance, if by the criteria you're using, I would not have been a manager of this court. I came here with credentials of being on an airport commission, Payne Field, and we were very much involved in getting the Boeing company to Payne Field. And I knew an awful lot about airports. That got me here. The other thing is that I came here to solve another issue, which was the location of the ferry terminal. I worked for the Institute for Environmental Studies at the University of Washington, and our group was tagged to help the community find a location, which meant dealing with and communicating with a very large number of folks in port towns and in the county who had an interest in that location. So you might be looking, you might consider folks that have other professions or other vocations that can also do the task. The last thing is, I'm very concerned about the institutional history of this port in its operation. You have on your plate a 5-year strategic plan that you need to do. You've got a huge problem with a breakwater at Point Hudson and trying to find finances for that. You also have some stormwater drainage issues and sea level rise issues that are just right on the high horizon. You've got a lot on your plate. I would hate to see folks disappear out of here that do not that take with them all the institutional history so that you will be reinventing the wheel, if you will, in your operations. So be very concerned about a domino effect of losing people, that not just Larry. So my last thought is that I think I would prefer that you take a good time in finding a good executive director. If it means hiring an interim or designating a person on staff as the interim, please do it so that the system keeps moving, because we've got a lot to do. Thank you.
Ron?
Ron Hayes. I just wanted to add, that was an excellent comment to Urgent. Bill, I really liked your comments, and I guess my, and I think this process that you guys are putting together is excellent, and you're going to get a good candidate. As George said, it might take longer than we would like, but I almost sort of get the feeling like we're hoping we're going to get this hotshot director that's going to come in and tell us what our strategic plan should be. And hey guys, this is what I can do. I'll go out and do this and that and this and that. But I almost feel like the strategic plan has to come from the three commissioners, not the port director. Port director, as I see it, if I understand it correctly, is the implementer. He marshals all the resources and people and everything to make things happen. And I would just like to know, what is the strategic plan? Because you guys started on revising it and then stopped because some of the wording got misinterpreted or something. I'm not sure what happened. But what are we trying to do? We have this great marine trades here and this marina and Point Hudson. I mean, these are really awesome resources that we have in this community. And, you know, one thing we could do is just say, that's the focus. You know, we don't want to do anything else. You know, let's just stick with, you know, the yard and the marina and Point Hudson. And Point Hudson is sort of a very expensive operation to maintain just because it's so small and where it's located. But it's just so important to the wooden boat festival and the maritime nature of this community. So, you know, maybe that's all you should focus on. Just forget everything else. We're stuck with the airport. You can say that. We'll just put the minimum amount of effort into that. Cool Scene will sell the property and get the heck out of there. And maybe that's what should be done. I really don't know, but I think the three commissioners have to come up with a strategic plan, not a detailed Eric Powell's document that's 25 pages long. I'm not talking about something like that, but just like on one sheet of paper, what is really most important? And the three of you guys getting together and discussing it and then maybe presenting it to the community, I think would just be excellent. I'm just afraid if you don't do that now, you're gonna eventually get somebody in here who's gonna try to guide where the port's gonna go in the future. And which we might get a really good guy that or gal that, you know, does what we need to be done. But I think you guys are the elected officials and you should set the course, not someone else. And so anyhow, that's my two cents.
I can't help but I've read a couple of things in other newspapers with other ports where they, in one case, they let the director go. And one of the commissioners made a comment to the newspaper that we want to move in a different direction. Well, the director's not going to take you in a different direction. You've got to set the direction. And the director will get the bus lined up and put fuel in it and get the bus driver and get the thing moving, but you got to tell them what road you want to go down. That's a good point, sir.
Pete Langley, for the record, just want to agree with a couple of comments there. One, I definitely think the sun's going to come up tomorrow. And we're definitely set without us. There is no rush to go on, and it also isn't personal. It is business, and it is your responsibility to conduct the business. So I would appreciate you taking all this input with that in mind, that none of us are here pointing fingers and doing that. We want to hopefully encourage you to continue the process. I know I support Brad and his efforts to make things happen, and along those same lines, I value the input there. So I'm going to ask that you guys do that. Take a little more time. Let's find a good manager who's going to fit this role. We have a community service role. It's a public agency, and our response and our reputation out there relies on what happens with the people out on the ground. So I think there's somebody who supports the people out on the ground out there. It's the airport, closing Point Hudson, wherever they are. Anybody who represents the port is our best representative for keeping customers and business coming to our community. As soon as that is hampered, then we're going to put a lot at risk, which is not only your income, but it's the community's income. And I think the basic charter of the port was, let's help be a foundation which helps and make the rest of the community prosperous. So the goal here is to be a seed to help the rest of the community to grow and be prosperous within that. I think if the port can be a good steward of that and keep its reputation where it needs to be, we'll all be. My two cents.
With you 100% there.
You know, it reminds me of an old, was a brand new second lieutenant in the Army at Fort Bragg. And I was told myself, an old crusty sergeant of first class took me off to the side and said, "Lieutenant, go get yourself a bucket of water and stick your fist in it. Then pull it out and see how long the hole lasts." That's how long you'll be missed. Ever since that, I got a little more humble of a...
Stayed away from talking in the water.
My name's Cliff Fish. I work down in Fort Benson. I've been around here for about 5 years, off and on. And to me, there's a lot of assets that aren't being exploited. I went to the boat school, graduated from there, and I heard that the port ran that little launch ramp right next to the boat school, which is ridiculous. You can't launch a boat. It's always buried in sand. There's always fishermen coming down there struggling to get a boat in the water because of a huge pile of sand that's covering everything. It's not contained. It's not configured to allow fishermen to have access to that end of the bay. If it's an asset at all, it looks like a fabulous one. You got a boat school. You can't moor boats. There's a dock. The dock. It's got a limited access. You can't put a boat overnight there. You can't moor anything there. And right on top of it, this other group, Lobo, came in and took what was a fabulous asset for pittance and are milking it for everything it's worth. But the port's invisible. I don't know any place in town where you can step a mast. Everybody has to call a moving truck. At a lake down in Eugene, we have just a telephone pole with an arm on it. You can drive your car under it, pull the mast up, step the mast up to 40 feet long, as long as it's a trailer or a boat or something that can be moved under. It's totally unavailable in this town. There's just a wide variety of circumstances which aren't being met. Point Hudson, obviously the geography contributes to it, but you can't launch a boat off your trailer. People come in there with boats on trailers and they have to use the travel net for a couple hundred dollars to get a fishing boat 20 feet long into the water. I could probably go on for quite a while, but I think our resources that we currently have are just not being exploited to what's possible. Just look down to the mast crane that I referred to is at Fern Ridge Reservoir. Single telephone pole with an elbow was put up for $200 on top of that. And everybody can set up so many individuals can put a mast up on their own, sure that and it's not intended, charge for it. But they have a whole fleet of sailboats there just because of that telephone pole.
Just to keep your comments, we're talking about the attributes of the port director,
right.
So we're,
right.
That's what we're
that's
getting to.
We're willing to creatively exploit all of our assets. And the just one other point. We qualified for the National Historic Register. Is anybody looking at that? What does that do to any town in terms of protections, in terms of advantages, in terms of tourism? So, anyway, that's my two bits.
Thank you.
So you say you work at Point Hudson?
Yeah.
What do you do down there?
I'm customer service at Seamarine.
At Seamarine?
If you want to have a cup of coffee someday, I can fill you in on the history of most of what you brought up.
Yeah.
And why it's that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you for your comments.
Mm-hmm.
Any other comments? Okay, well, I think we're going to adjourn into executive session and kick around some of the questions that were presented.
Yes, we're at the regular meeting in less than an hour. So.
Yeah. And thank you very much for your participation and your comments.